मोकम करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातहं वंदे श्रीगुरु दीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यईश्वरं। So we are reading from Canto 7, Chapter 4, titled Hiranyakashipu Terrorizes the Universe, Text 33. So let's chant the shloka. By the way, today at 8:15, we'll be chanting the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So that's a, well, it's a short chapter. It will take some 10 minutes. Okay, let's chant the shloka, Text 33. Nodvigna chitto vyasane shunispriyaha.
Nodvigna chitto vyasane shunispriyaha.
Shuteshu drishteshu guneshva vastudrek.
Shuteshu drishteshu guneshva vastudrek.
Danteindriya prana sharira disada.
Danteindriya prana sharira disada.
प्रशांत कामो रहिता सुरोसुरः।
प्रशांत कामो रहितो सुरोसुरः।
So we are discussing the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj. So finally, after 30 to 35 or 40 hours of class, now we have arrived at the right topic, Prahlad's Charita. So last session on Monday, sorry, on Tuesday, we started Prahlad Charita. And we're continuing with the same. And we'll see that how great Prahlad Maharaj is and how great pure devotees are and how small we all are. Whenever we read Srimad Bhagavatam, one thing is for sure. We get some knowledge or we don't get knowledge. At least we'll become humble. At least we'll become humble. Prahlad Maharaj's all qualities are so great. Huge like a mountain. Huge like a mountain. And we are just like a small grain, small sand particle in front of the huge mountain. And when we hear about Prahlad Maharaj, that aspiration, that when will I also get such qualities? That aspiration or that hankering, when it develops, then we can say that, yes, my hearing was successful. So that's what we're trying to do. So let's see in this particular shloka, what is mentioned about Prahlad Maharaj. Although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of asuras, he himself was not an asura, but a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. Unlike the other asuras, he was never envious of Vaishnavas. He was not agitated when put into danger, and he was neither directly nor indirectly interested in the fruitive activities described in the Vedas. Indeed, he considered everything material to be useless, and therefore he was completely devoid of material desires. He always controlled his senses and life air, and being of steady intelligence and determination, he subdued all lusty desires. Purport. From this verse, we discover that a man is not qualified or disqualified simply by birth. Prahlad Maharaj was an asura by birth, yet he possessed all the qualities of a perfect brahmana. Brahmanya Shila Sampannaha. Anyone can become a fully qualified Brahmana under the direction of a spiritual master. Prahlad Maharaj provided a vivid example of how to think of the spiritual master and accept his directions calmly. So let's go line by line in the translation. We'll not miss a single quality. Now we'll try to cover all of that. Although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of asuras, he himself was not an asura but a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. So, we will see this, I guess, in sixth chapter. Seventh chapter. Sixth and seventh chapter, we'll see that where did Prahlad Maharaj get all the knowledge from? How did he become a devotee? And to open the suspense, he became the devotee in the womb of his mother, Kayadu. He didn't attend any Gita course. he didn't attend any Bhagavatam sessions. He became a devotee right in the womb of his mother. So this is a very important point for all the devotees in general, that devotees are made or are born from the time of conceiving the child, which we call it as Garbhadhan Samskar. So when Garbhadhan Samskar is done, when the male and female come together for begetting a child, So there is a samskar, or there are different things that male and female have to do, you know, before uniting. So when that is done, what happens is a very qualified soul is attracted to the womb of the mother. Or else what happens when the consciousness of the male and female are not proper, when they unite, a demonic personality is attracted, you know, to the womb. And that's what is happening currently. That's what is happening currently in this age of Kali Yuga. If you remember, I had told this case study in Mumbai. One 28 years boy, he had filed a case against his parents. So where he was telling that they didn't take my permission before begetting me. I am just a byproduct of their enjoyment. They didn't plan to beget me. Now, this was the case that the boy had put on his parents. I don't know what he wanted to gain out of it. But this goes on to say that how demoniac people are in general. Why this is happening? It's not the fault of the kids, but it's the fault of the parents. Just with the mood of enjoyment, when the male and female come together, the product will be, you know, double enjoyment personality. he'll enjoy to such a great extent that parents will become miserable. This is how demons are. But when parents, when the male and female who are coming together to beget a child, if they endeavor, if they work hard to make their consciousness proper, Krishna conscious, if they become Krishna conscious before begetting a child, and then in that consciousness when they unite, then the divine soul is attracted. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Prabhupada's guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he would offer this prayer to Krishna that please send me your own associate as my child. This is the prayer that Bhaktivinoda Thakur would offer. He would say that, may the ray of Vishnu manifest in my house. And who came? Who came? That ray of Vishnu was none other than Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's guru. Now just imagine what Prabhupada has done all over the world. Now you can imagine what would be the level of Prabhupada's guru. That personality manifested. That personality manifested in the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed for it. And other samskaras, which, whatever they had done at that time. So this is a science, basically. This is a science. It is not something which is whimsical, or it is not something which is a superstition or something. This is science. The consciousness of the male and female when they're uniting, that would decide what sort of soul will be attracted. This is first level. First level of consciousness builds at this point. The second level of consciousness builds at the point when the child is developing in the womb of the mother. So now when the child is developing in the womb of the mother, third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam clearly describes how the child is developing. Day one, when the male and female unite, and the semen and the egg, they unite. So what happens is, initially it is there in the form of curd. And then slowly it becomes solidified. It is given on the fifth day what happens, on the 15th day what happens, then on one month what happens, and third month what happens. All that is given. So when the child is slowly developing in the womb, the external setup which is there, that matters a lot. What sort of condition, or what sort of situation, or what sort of circumstance that child is there, or the mother carrying the child is there, matters a lot. If the mother is busy doing all nonsensical things, the child will be born like that. Surely will be born like that. And we see nowadays, the mothers, the pregnant ladies, they're busy watching movies, and they're busy watching various other nonsensical stuff, gossiping and this and that. The child is exactly born the way they behaved during pregnancy. I've seen in my relatives. So this was a good number of years back when I was in my school days, I guess. So one of the Mataji in my relatives, she was pregnant. And I remember clearly that on one day we had watched two movies in the theater. So we had gone for a show at 12 o'clock, and then we had gone for a show at 6 o'clock or something like that. And that Mataji also came with us, was pregnant. So after watching the first movie, you know, we told her that, you know, maybe you can go home. You know, we'll watch and come. She was like, no, I'll also come. She was not able to sit also properly, but still she wanted to watch. And the daughter who is born now currently, now I see, she is completely Bollywood style, you know, girl. Completely. Completely living in the world of glamour. Mm-hmm. Makeup and this and the behavior also, right from childhood. Mm-hmm. I have seen that girl, you know, growing. You know, right from the childhood, I have seen her. Right from childhood, you know, she had that mood of a celebrity. She had the mood of that glamour right from childhood, that makeup and the dress and acting and songs and everything. At that time, I couldn't understand what was that. Then when I started reading Bhagavatam and then got to hear lectures about Garbhadhan Samskar and Simanta Samskar and other, then I understood, this is what happened. This is what happened. And nowadays, you know, we have seen that kids are there in the cradle. They're crying piteously. And parents, what they do? They'll play some Bollywood or Hollywood, some song, and they would keep besides the kid. And the kid will become silent. Completely silent. This is horrible, actually. This goes on to say the kid is currently demoniac. This is what it means. The kid is becoming silent by hearing some demoniac song. But that is not the fault of the kid. That is the fault of the mother. When the kid was there in the womb, that's what the mother did. So that's how it was. But we have seen the devotee kids recently in one of the Bhakti Vriksha groups. Our Hari Parshad Prabhu's son's video was posted. So I've seen that video. Maybe we can post it in our Gita course and Belandu congregation group. Whoever had posted that, please post it so that others can also see. So that child, when Hare Krishna Mahamantra would stop, you know, he would start crying piteously. And when Hare Krishna Mahamantra would start, he would just, you know, go back and forth, completely quiet. I was hearing one of our devotee also, who is there currently in our congregation. So that devotee was sharing that whenever my child cries, we sing Narasimha Aarti and the child becomes silent. This is the difference between a non-devotee kid and a devotee kid. For a devotee kid, even if, suppose, properly by Garbhadhan Samskar and other samskars, if the child is begot, even if you play some Bollywood or Hollywood song, the child will not stop crying. Only if you chant the holy names, only if you do some kirtan or something, then only the child will stop crying. This is what we have seen. This is the difference. And this clearly shows that how scientific all these samskaras are. These samskaras are not superstition. Right from Garbhadhan Samskar till Antyeshti Samskar, that is Mrityu Samskar. So these samskaras which are there, these are not superstition, these are scientific. And at the time of death also, when the person dies, some samskar is done. So that helps the person, you know, to move on to another body, a good body maybe. And when that samskar is not done, that person wanders around as a ghost. This is seen in so many ways. In so many places, so many cases are there. So this aspect of our Vedic scriptures have to be accepted, you know, very nicely. And the parents who are planning to beget kids, and the mothers who are already pregnant, and the kids who are already born and very small, still in the cradle, the parents have to literally take care of all these things, where all Krishna conscious activities should happen around. And the most important thing is the people, you know, who are either coming together to beget a kid or already having a child in the womb, or the baby who is still drinking the mother's milk, they have to be only on prasadam. Nothing else should enter the mouth. Even the water should be prasadam. Yes, everything should be prasadam. So what happens is the child will be nourished with prasadam and not some food on the street. We see nowadays, you know, pregnant ladies, they're out on the street having pani puri and bhel puri. Just imagine whose consciousness will the child get? The thela wala's consciousness. The pani puri is making with his dirty hands and the dirty consciousness, and then that he's putting in the plate and the lady is eating it. So the consciousness of the thela wala is actually mixed, you know, in that pani puri or whatever. And then that's what the child is getting nourished with. So what we are eating also is very, very important. So that's the reason, you know, we keep telling again and again in our classes that one has to stop taking negative things, especially now when it comes to meat, alcohol and other things. Now, Prabhupada is very intelligent. Prabhupada knew what is the root of all the nonsensical activities happening around. He knew the root and he targeted the root. He said, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex. Because when this root is removed, automatically the tree, you know, will flourish very nicely. Because this root which is there, you know, this is the thing that is affecting. So he literally targeted that. And once that is removed, then automatically the good roots will be there, good samskaras, etc. And then the tree will flourish nicely. Then parents need not go around searching for a counselor. Please, you know, counsel my child. You know, he's not listening to me at all. You know? After certain age, the kids are out of control. Completely out of control. You know, around 7th standard plus. You cannot control the kids after that. Why? Because that's what the samskara that is given. So what happens is, I'm going out of track, but you know, it is in line, somewhat in line with the first line of Bhagavatam that we just read. So the child, throughout his childhood, he has seen what parents are doing. Most of the time, at least in now in the nuclear families, parents keep fighting. So all the time the kid is seeing parents fighting. All the time the kid is seeing they're on the TV or on the cell phone or some nonsense they're doing. So when the child becomes, now start becomes maturing, when he starts entering the teens, 13, 14, the child at that time, he recollects what the parents have done and he tries to replicate the same. Then same thing. So the fight is happening at home and no one, and both husband and wife are not listening to each other, mother, father not listening to each other. There's always a tug of war between, you know, for every small thing. The child, you know, after growing up, he understands very clearly, if you want your work to be done, you shouldn't agree with the other person. So he doesn't agree with anything that the parents say. He'll not agree. So we might feel that my child, you know, I was good. My parents were good. How come this demon is born in my family? The demon was not born. It was a proper child. But our cultivation was demonic. So as soon as the person, the male and female are planning to beget a child, or if the child is there in the womb, or if there is a newborn baby, or if there is a child, you know, who is below the teens, in that particular house, all these Krishna conscious activities have to start mandatorily. There is no option. All these nonsensical foodstuffs should stop. No meat, no intoxication at home. No question of illicit sex and gambling. There is no discussion about that at all. Second, no television at home. It will be painful, but this is what it is. No television at home. Yes. And the third thing is, the parents who are there, the male and female, the husband and wife, they have to literally make sure in front of the child, nothing should be done. The fight I'm talking about. Yes. No arguments, no fights, nothing. No, when the child grows up, then this is the case. But when the child is in the womb, they cannot even act. When the child is there externally and say 4 years old or whatever, the parents have some space of, you know, going into bedroom and fighting, telling the child to go out and play. But when the child is there in the womb, you cannot fight also. This is called as training the child before the child is born or before the child enters the teens. This is called as training the child. So training does not happen only when the child takes birth. Training happens right from the time of conception. Right from that time. That time. Yes. But it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. I remember telling my aunt, one of my distant aunt, so I told her that when I visited their place. So she came back from the office and, you know, on a big TV, you know, there was a serial that was played, some daily soap. And she was sitting and her daughter, first standard kid, she was all sitting and they were watching. And then after this was over, I was there somewhere in the room or whatever. I came out and then that girl started telling me the entire story, first standard kid. The boy and the girl came together and the boy proposed the girl this way. You know, she was telling me, you know, this way the girl proposed the boy proposed the girl. I don't know why she didn't accept the proposal. And story has stopped. I'm really eager tomorrow what's going to happen. I was thinking, my God. Then I told my aunt. I told her, see, this is what she was speaking. Then I told her, you should stop watching. Then she said, "Arey, what are you saying? This is my lifeline. I come frustrated from the office and then this is my lifeline where I become peaceful after, you know, seeing this. If I stop this, then what will happen? How will I become peaceful? How will I enjoy?" This is what, these are the words those were used. Sacrifice is the word for the mother and father. They have to write it here, sacrifice. Once they think of begetting a child and once the child is born, yes, after teens anyways, the child, kids don't listen. So there is no thought about after that. But in this period, the parents have to put a tag, sacrifice. Their entire life is done. They have to sacrifice their enjoyment now. And they have to take that austerity to make sure that the child grows up properly. And if your child is very fortunate, like Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj got to hear a pure devotee when he was in the womb. That will come. I'll not open the suspense now. That will come in the 7th chapter. We are there in the 4th chapter. I don't know when we'll reach there, but we'll reach. Yes. So Prahlad Maharaj got to hear a pure devotee. And this also goes on to say that we can hear pure devotees' lectures when we're there in that stage. So here we see that Prahlad Maharaj, right from birth, he was a devotee. Right from birth. So this aspect, has to be clearly understood that a very, very pious, innocent, honest, loyal child can take birth in the family. In fact, no training is also needed. If the samskaras before is proper samskaras are performed before begetting the child. And here we see that even when, in case of Prahlad Maharaj, there was no samskara as such that was performed. But Prahlad Maharaj, he got to hear Narada Muni, and just by hearing Narada Muni, for how long did Prahlad Maharaj hear Narada Muni? The same duration in which Hiranyakashipu was doing tapasya. Good number of celestial years. Now there will be a question, then Kayadu was holding the baby in the womb? Yes. Kayadu, she requested Narada Muni that please give me a benediction that till my husband comes back home, I shouldn't deliver this child. And Narada Muni, he said, Tathastu. So he remained in the womb for celestial years, good number of celestial years. And then Narada Muni was speaking on Bhagavatam. And that's how the child was cultivated in the womb itself. And look at the quality. Where did Prahlad Maharaj take birth? He took birth in Asura family. He took birth in Asura family. And what happened? He was never envious of Vaishnavas. He was the only devotee, a child who was a devotee in the Asura family, and he was never envious of any Vaishnavas, which is really out of box thing, which we can never think of. And then it is given, he was not agitated when put into dangers. We are going to see one full section of this particular line. I'll not explain this now. He was neither directly or indirectly interested in the fruitive activities described in Vedas. So here they're talking about Vedas. Nowadays kids, you just tell them that I'll give you chocolate if you score this much marks, I'll give you cycle if you score this much marks, they're ready to do anything. Here they're talking about Vedas. Prahlad Maharaj was not interested in that also. Forget about chocolate and cycle and other things. And then he considered everything material to be useless. Now tell me, which child considered like this? Nowadays, the kids, they make the parents' life hellish, especially when they go to some malls. I want this, I want that, this, that, this, that. And the parents are checking their bank balance. Kitna bacha hai abhi tak? It's month end. How much is remaining? And Prahlad Maharaj, he is considering everything material to be useless. Only a devotee can do this, I tell you. Only a devotee. Devotees are crazy, they're mad. Everyone in this world are hankering behind the glamour and the glitter. Everyone is running behind that. And devotees are like, tuchha. They don't want all that. And they consider it as tuchha. Yes. So devotees are complete. They're aliens, you know. Devotees are aliens. In this world of all materialists who get allured by everything around, these aliens have taken birth here and there, and they keep watching all these things. And they say, like, for example, Prabhupada, if you remember, when Prabhupada landed in Boston, now anyone who goes to foreign country for the first time, you know, their eyes will be wide open looking at those skyscraper buildings and, you know, those lights and those huge highways with cars moving. I have not gone. I've seen in some movies. And I don't wish to go also. So Prabhupada went there, and Prabhupada was standing and at the harbor and was, you know, witnessing all this. He was seeing all this. And only thing that came in the heart of Srila Prabhupada was, how unfortunate all these people are. This is hellish. This is what he said. I remember one of my students going to US, and then he texts me, Prabhuji, this is heaven. He said that, Prabhuji, this is heaven. But a pure devotee, he sees, this is waste. Why do they consider everything material to be useless? Because all these material things don't take a person closer to Krishna. So they consider it as useless. Vyartha. So this is a point which devotees note. Devotees always have this question. Will this activity, will this thing, will this situation, or will this association take me closer to Krishna or not? If the answer is no, the devotee just rejects. Nahi chahiye mujhe. Kya karu iska lekar? I don't want. I want Krishna. Whatever takes me closer to Krishna, I'll go. A huge feast is offered and that day is fasting. So devotee will fast. Nahi chahiye mujhe. Because on the day of fasting, if I feast, then I'm anyways not going to attain Krishna. Anyways, that's sin. So why should I really eat something on that day? So even if it's huge items present in front of the devotee will not accept. Now, if suppose there is a trade that is done with a devotee, I will give you some $1 billion. Just give up chanting. I don't know if that offer is given to us, what we will do, but I'm talking about pure devotees. Pure devotees, they would reject straight away. They would not even think twice. Maybe we might think twice, thinking, maybe now I'll accept and maybe not chant for one day. And then after a few days, I'll start chanting. But for a few days, I can manage without chanting. It's okay. $1 billion is all right. But then when it comes to pure devotees are like, no way. They'll not ever trade anything for bhakti. So this point, you know, we see in case of Prahlad Maharaj, that Prahlad Maharaj considered everything material to be useless, because Prahlad Maharaj knew very well nothing material can take me closer to Krishna. And for a devotee, anything that does not take him closer to Krishna, he is not interested in that. He considers those things just as a stone on the street or garbage on the street. How much value do we give to garbage? We don't see also what is lying on the road, right? That's how these devotees do. These devotees, they don't consider even valuable things fallen on the ground as really valuable, because they know very well, this will not take me closer to Krishna. Now, why should I really worry, really bother about it? So he considered everything material to be useless. When will we get this quality? We are just running around and round and round behind material possessions. I want this, I want that. When will that day come when we'll consider material things as tuccha, as useless? That day has to come. Till the point we give a lot of importance to this material setup around, it will be very, very difficult to attain Krishna. That day should come where we're using these material things properly just to maintain this body and to get closer to Krishna. Not that overly getting attached to the material things around. That day should come. And for sure that day will come by reading Bhagavatam. Because in Bhagavatam, there are shiromanis of all aliens. We have Bhakta Shiromani, Prahlad Maharaj. Just by hearing from them, like Amrish Maharaj also, if you remember. Amrish Maharaj also considered all the possessions that he had as tuccha. As, you know, very, very low. He didn't bother about all those things at all. All the ones who have attended those series of Amrish Maharaj, you might remember this. Same thing here. Prahlad Maharaj is also considering the same thing. Hmm? And therefore, he was completely devoid of material desires. Now, if you consider something useless, why will you desire for it? Right? Currently, our cases, we consider it as very, very important. Very important. And so, we desire for it. Oh, I want it. I want it. I want it. But when someone considers material things to be useless, degraded, waste, why will that person desire? Do we desire for garbage? We don't. We don't. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, he is not desiring for anything material. He always controlled senses and life air, and being of steady intelligence and determination, he subdued all lusty desires. So by steady intelligence and determination, through the practice of bhakti, he was able to overcome all the lusty desires. Lust is the most difficult thing which we can overcome. Most difficult, most difficult. But through bhakti, it is possible. And here we see in case of Prahlad Maharaj. Right from the age of 5. Now, I'm not talking of Prahlad of 60 years old or something. 5 years old Prahlad's description is given. He had conquered lust at that time itself. 5 year old Prahlad. At least at 5 year, no one knows what is lust also. But Prahlad Maharaj was knowing what is lust and he had conquered lust. This is the level of Prahlad Maharaj. Let's go to text 34. O King, Prahlad Maharaj's good qualities are still glorified by learned saints and Vaishnavas. All good qualities are always found existing in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They also exist forever in his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. From authoritative scripture, it is learned that Prahlad Maharaj still lives in Vaikuntha Loka as well as within this material world on the planet Sutala. This transcendental quality of existing simultaneously in different places is another quality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Goloka eva nivasat akhilatma bhotaha. The Lord appears in the core of everyone's heart, yet he exists on his own planet, Goloka Vrindavan. A devotee acquires qualities almost the same as those of the Lord because of unalloyed devotional service. Ordinary living beings cannot be so qualified, but a devotee can be qualified like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not in full, but partially. So this is what happens when a person gets closer and closer and closer to Krishna through the practice of bhakti. So many things will happen when a person gets closer to Krishna. The first important thing that happens when a person gets closer to Krishna is all his anxieties are removed because he completely depends on Krishna. No, there's no tension at all in life. No, it's completely dependent on Krishna. First. Second thing that happens when a person gets closer to Krishna is all the good qualities will manifest in him. All the Devi Devata's good qualities will manifest in him. Third thing that happens when a person gets closer to Krishna even more, the qualities of Krishna will start manifesting in him. All the qualities. Like for example, this quality of manifesting at the same time at multiple places. Krishna can do that. Krishna is there as Paramatma. Krishna manifests outside as Sri Guru, and Krishna is also present in Goloka Vrindavan doing his eternal pastimes. So here in our heart, Krishna is observing what we're doing, and there Krishna is busy stealing butter. So this is one of the quality or the mystical potency of Krishna, where he is Yogeshwara. He is the topmost of all the yogi. So he has got this quality of expanding himself at one time at multiple places. Just imagine how many living entities are there in this world. Count, just count. Now suppose we count human beings. Now we can say 700 billion or whatever. Now start counting coronavirus, which is wildly spreading now in Bangalore. Just count the living entities in the coronavirus, in the body of coronavirus. It's huge. And even with that living entity in the body of coronavirus, Paramatma is there. Now you can imagine what is the number or the number in which Krishna has expanded. Huge number that is. We cannot imagine also how many expansions are there now as Paramatma in the heart of various living entities. And even when having so many innumerable infinite expansions, Krishna in his Goloka Dham, he is busy doing his pastimes. There he is doing pastimes in Bhauma Vrindavan. Currently the Vrindavan which is there in the map where we can see in UP, Uttar Pradesh. Even there Krishna's Nitya Leela goes on. So Prakat Leela is over. 5,000 years back, Krishna did his Prakat Leela, where he manifested his pastimes for all of us so that we can discuss like this time and again in our Nityam Bhagavata class. Even now, even after Aprakat Leela of Krishna, that is when he went back home to Goloka Vrindavan, still is performing pastimes in Vrindavan. And the devotee who has come to that level of having those Divya Chakshu, having that Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, when he has got that Divya Chakshu with ointment of love anointed on his eyes, he is still able to see the Leelas happening in Vrindavan even now. Even now, yes. It is not something which is very surprising. This is very, very common among sadhus. Very common. They've reached that level. They can see Krishna. When they go to Govardhan, they see Krishna. Okay, Krishna is, you know, grazing the cows, and cows are there. Surbi cow and Kamadhenu cow. They're all there. They're able to see all that. When they go to Jamuna, they don't see polluted water there. They see crystal clear water. And they see all the surrounding of Yamuna, you know, made up of all jewels, valuable jewels. They're able to see that. So this is the level. So the point that I'm making is Krishna is there everywhere. And Krishna is also in Goloka Vrindavan doing his pastimes. Krishna is also in Brahma Vrindavan doing his Nitya Leela pastime. Now you can imagine who is Krishna. And when someone says that I am God, then we should ask him, how many expansions do you have? No one can become God. It's only Krishna who is God. Only Krishna is God. No one in this world can become God. God cannot become. No, you cannot become God. God is God. Prabhupada says this. When Krishna was there in the cradle in the house of Mother Yashoda, he was God. When Krishna was there on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, now driving the chariot of Arjuna, he was God. So Krishna was God throughout. He didn't become God at one point of time after his meditation. Those people are foolish who say that we can become God. And the same quality of expanding oneself in multiple forms and remain at multiple places, that quality, you know, even a pure devotee gets. A pure devotee gets lots of things. You know, if we go on discussing that, you know, it will be a huge discussion. What all things, what qualities a pure devotee gets? It's a huge discussion. So one such quality is mentioned here. He manifests himself at multiple places. And here we see that Prahlad Maharaj is there in Goloka Vrindavan also, and he's there in Sutal Loka also, you know, doing his pastimes. So in this way, we see that Prahlad Maharaj's glories are still glorified. This happened in Satyuga. Now Kaliyuga is going on, still it is glorified. In this world, when someone becomes famous, how long can a person be famous? The celebrities who are there, I don't hear any celebrity's name, you know, which whom I used to watch in my childhood. I don't hear any of them. They are all new celebrities now. Yes. So after a span of a decade or two, there is no question of the name of the celebrity. Even the evergreen celebrities, you know, they become deserted after some time. No one cares. No one cares to give some importance to them. So that is what is the fame of this world. But when a person becomes famous, or when a person becomes a pure devotee, he becomes famous eternally. Eternally. Not just in this world, in all the planetary systems. Everyone glorifies the person. In fact, here the Bhagavatam that we are reading is 18,000 shlokas only. The Bhagavatam that is there in Swargaloka, it is the description is given that those are 1 lakh plus verses. So more details are given about these personalities. Now you can imagine, Prahlad Maharaj's glories are not just chanted here, you know, in our Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya class, but it goes on everywhere in all the planetary systems. So it is said that why strive in this world to become famous? Why strive to impress people around and to become famous? If we really want to become famous there in that world. And how we can become famous in that world? By becoming devotees. It is said that anyone who becomes a pure devotee, the discussion about that personality goes on in all the planetary systems. In Vaikuntha Loka, people dance in ecstasy. Oh, he become a pure devotee. They start discussing the glories of that personality. If you remember Amrish Maharaj's pastime, what happened in Amrish Maharaj's pastime towards the end? Durvasa Muni, after having all the dealings with Amrish Maharaj, I'm not elaborating on it, assuming everyone was present in that class. So Durvasa Muni, when he left the palace of Amrish Maharaj, what did Durvasa Muni do? He went now throughout the, all the planetary systems, and he was glorifying Amrish Maharaj. How glorious Amrish Maharaj is. Isko kehte fame. Our fame is just having some, some few thousands of friends on Facebook and few contacts on WhatsApp. Yes. And few people know around and they bow down to us or say at least a hello. That's what is our fame. Max to max, we can come on small screen, big screen. That's it. Isse aada kuch nahi hoga. But when we become pure devotees, oh, unending glory, unending fame. Everything is unending when it comes to a pure devotee. And that's what we see here, Prahlad Maharaj. Satyuga, this personality appeared, and even now in Kali Yuga, in this corona season, we are discussing our Prahlad Maharaj. Look at this. And Prahlad Charita will be discussed even till the end of Kali Yuga. That is the glories of Prahlad Maharaj. And what to talk about just the end of Kali Yuga, the next Satyuga also, Prahlad Maharaj's pastimes will be discussed. This is called the fame of a devotee, and that's what is talked about. Text 35, in any assembly where there are discourses about saints and devotees, O King Yudhishthir, even the enemies of the demons, namely the demigods, what to speak of you would cite Prahlad Maharaj as an example of a great devotee. So this is the qualification of a pure devotee. Now suppose if someone has to give some example of a pure devotee, they would cite the name of that pure devotee. And here it is said that Prahlad Maharaj was such a great devotee that even in heavenly planets, if they want to give some example of a pure devotee, they would cite the example of Prahlad Maharaj. Even now, this is the same situation, same case. Text 36. Who could list the innumerable transcendental qualities of Prahlad Maharaj? See, Narad Muni got tired. Narad Muni is not able to speak further. He's not able to talk about his qualities. It's so innumerable. He had unflinching faith in Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudev. That is Vasudeve Bhagavati. That is what is the line that is mentioned in this shloka. Yes. Vasudeve Bhagavati yasya naisargiki rati. Vasudeve Bhagavati yasya naisargiki rati. That's what is the Sanskrit shloka that is mentioned here. His attachment to Lord Krishna was natural because of his previous devotional service. Although his good qualities cannot be enumerated, they prove that he was a great devotee, a great soul, Mahatma. Or put, in his prayers to the 10 incarnations, Jayadev Goswami says, Keshava Drita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadish Hare. Prahlad Maharaj was a devotee of Lord Narsingha, who is Keshava Krishna himself. Therefore, when this verse says Vasudeve Bhagavati, one should understand that Prahlad Maharaj's attachment for Narsimhadev was attachment for Krishna. Vasudeva, the son of Vasudev. Prahlad Maharaj therefore is described as a great Mahatma, as the Lord himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita 7:19. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavan mam prapadyate Vasudeva sarvamiti sa matma sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes. And all that is, such a great soul is very rare. A great devotee of Krishna, the son of Vasudev, is a great soul very rarely to be found. Prahlad Maharaj's attachment for Krishna will be explained in the next verse. Krishna graha grihitatma. Oh, that verse is there. Okay. Prahlad Maharaj's heart was always filled with thoughts of Krishna. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is the ideal devotee in Krishna consciousness. Okay, how much time we have? This is a big topic to discuss. Okay. So till 8:15, we'll speak about this topic. So we have some 20 minutes only. Okay. So here the topic is about Vasudeve Bhagavati yasya naisargiki rati. Naisargiki rati. Natural attraction. Natural attraction towards Krishna. That's what is talked about. So this natural attraction, if you talk about our natural attraction, now whenever we read something, we have to talk about ourselves also. What is our natural attraction? Sense gratification. Anything that we find in this world, naturally we get attracted. Naturally. There is no need of training. There is no need of training. Naturally we get attracted to various material things in this world. That is what is our natural attraction. Naisargiki rati, that is what is our rati. Rati means attachment. Or attraction. So that's what is our natural attraction. But when it comes to a devotee gets naturally attracted to the qualities of devotional service. And let me make a point today in this association of devotees. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter that a yogi who is not an unperfected yogi or a yogi who has not attained perfection in his past life, and Prabhupada says that this refers to bhakti yogi also. So that person gets naturally attracted in the next life to various yogic processes. I mean various devotional processes. And I feel that all of us are very fortunate because all of us have got not a very great extent of natural attraction, but at least a tinge of attraction is there. All of us have it. This is a proof that all of us were devotees even in the past life. But the unfortunate situation is we never completed our devotional service. Every lifetime after lifetime, see, it's not one lifetime practice of bhakti. It's not possible at all that just by practice of one lifetime of bhakti, a person can come to a Bhagavatam class and hear Bhagavatam. Not possible. Not possible. It's not possible for a person to chant the holy names of the Lord just by practicing bhakti in one lifetime. Not possible. Impossible. A very, very rare case, it is possible. But in general, only after a good number of lifetimes when we practice bhakti, a person comes to the stage of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam attentively and chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Guess what? We all are at that level. We all have that. Some rati is there. Some rati. Or else, why? No, every session we'll come. And why will we have this attendance of 75 to 100 every session? We all have got that rati. All of us have got that attachment. Yes. And that attachment has to be enhanced now. Because we don't have natural attraction for Krishna, complete attraction for Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj had complete attraction for Krishna. We'll see that shloka. When Shandai Namarka, this is one of my favorite shlokas. Shandai Namarka, the teachers of Prahlad Maharaj, in the next chapter, fifth chapter, they're asking Prahlad Maharaj, where did you learn all these things from? This bhakti, where did you learn? How come you have got this attraction for Vishnu? Who taught you? And at that time, Prahlad Maharaj says, Yata brahmayati ayo brahman swayam akarsha sannido tatha me vidyate chetas chakrapane yadrichaya. So Prahlad Maharaj says, like the iron filings get attracted to the big magnet, similarly, I am getting attracted to the person holding chakrapani. Or person who is holding flute. I'm naturally getting attracted. I don't know where it is coming from. I don't know. This was the reply of Prahlad Maharaj. Shandai and Amarka were going crazy. What is this reply? This was the attraction of Prahlad Maharaj. This is called a spontaneous attraction. This attraction is there in Brajavasis, Vrindavan Vasis. They are naturally attracted towards Krishna. Naturally. Naturally they are attracted to Krishna. We see in the pastimes of Krishna. So they are naturally attracted towards Krishna. They need not go and attend some Bhagavatam class to get attraction for Krishna. So, now since Krishna, Leela has spoken something, let's speak some pastime of Krishna. So Krishna would go for Gocharan, where he would do his Gocharan Leela. He would go to the forest with all his 999,999 cows. And then all the Gopas will get their cows. And all of them would go and they will have fun time. Gocharan Leela was just a reason to go to forest. They'll go to forest and release the and all the cows will go. They'll keep grazing. Krishna and his friends, they would have nice pastimes. Amazing pastimes they will have. In fact, that section of Gocharan Leela, now we can take for another 100 days. You know, we can read that sometime later from 10th canto. So, what would happen is when Krishna would come back, now with all his friends, so everyone had such a natural attraction for Krishna. No one wanted to go to the respective homes. They wanted to remain with Krishna only. But somehow, Krishna would enter the house of Nanda Maharaj and all of them would be standing outside. Now they had no option. Now everyone cannot enter the house. The cows, lakhs and lakhs of cows, they would be standing and looking at the beautiful face of Krishna till he enters the house of Nanda Maharaj. They would just be looking. Natural attraction. To such an extent, now the Gopas will get to know that, okay, now Krishna has gone, now he will not come out. So next morning only he will be meeting. So Krishna would go, and then Mother Yashoda would, then Mother Yashoda's pastime would start. Mother Yashoda is very happy because Krishna has come home. Then Mother Yashoda would give him a bath, then, you know, and that too bath with various scented water, and they would, she, before that she would massage the body very nicely, and then she would give bath. In a day, Krishna would take hundreds of times bath, because in if you remember, once we had discussed about this also, in the forest the gopas would massage the body of Krishna with various oils, and they would go take bath in various juices and various different rivers and things like that. And then Mother Yashoda, she would feel, oh, my Lakana is so tired, full day he was doing Gocharan Leela. No, his entire body is so delicate, and he was hurting the cows. I should massage his body. And maybe at that time Krishna would be thinking, kitna massage karengi abhi? Everyone is massaging me. So Mother Yashoda would massage very nicely, give him a bath, you know, nicely feed him with nice, delicious foodstuffs, and then put him to sleep. And Krishna would act that he's sleeping. And at that time, Mother Yashoda would be telling various pastimes. And when Mother Yashoda would be telling various pastimes, Krishna's eyes will be wide open, you know, hearing the pastimes. And then Mother Yashoda would try her best, you know, to put Krishna to rest. Somehow, seeing the endeavor of Mother, he would go to rest. And then, as soon as he goes to rest, now, you know, say, you know, it's not even midnight, you know, say 10 o'clock or something, 11 o'clock, these Gopa friends, you know, who have gone home, they would come running from their home saying, Krishna, get up! No, we have to go for herding the cows. It's already morning. And then Mother Yashoda, are abhi itna mehnat se sulaya maine, he's just sleeping. And then the Mother Yashoda would go out and shout at these gopas. I'm just giving example of one part of Rajavasis called as gopas, and that to younger gopas of the age of Krishna or younger than him. So these gopas would come, and Mother Yashoda would shout and say, go home. It's still 10 o'clock. Why you people are coming and disturbing my kanha now? And then they would go, and then after another 1 hour, again they will come. Krishna, get up, we are late, we have to go to forest, we have to herd cows. And Mother Yashoda is trying her best to put Krishna to rest, and these gopas would come, and what Krishna would do is, Krishna would get up, jump from the bed, yes, I'm coming. So this Krishna is jumping from the bed and he's going, and Mother Yashoda is pulling him back, no, come and sleep. And then she'd go out and scold all the gopas, send them. So after every few hours, these gopas would come telling Krishna, Krishna, get up, it's late. And Krishna would get up from the bed. Again, he would sleep. Now you tell me, were these gopas trained for doing this? Did they go to any training school? How to get attracted to Krishna? Seminar of 6 days. They did not attend anything like that. They had natural affection, natural attraction for Krishna. Natural. When the cows would see Krishna, the cows are also devotees, when the cows would see Krishna, what would happen is, from their udder, the milk would start pouring incessantly. No need of milking the cow also. It will start pouring incessantly. Krishna would just go and put his mouth below, and nice nectarian sweet milk would flow into his mouth. Yes. This is called as natural attraction. Mother Yashoda. Now, this is the question to all the mothers. So, now suppose, when the child comes from the school, how many mothers feel, that intense motherly love, and the tears are flowing from the eyes, and then going and hugging the child? Oh, my God, my child, you have come back. In fact, I was hearing from a few mothers, Prabhu, after my child comes back, I'm really miserable. When my child is there in the school, I feel really peaceful, really peaceful. But look at the natural attraction of these devotees like Mother Yashoda for Krishna. When Krishna would come home after the Gocharan Leela, you know what would happen? Mother Yashoda would look at Krishna, and just by looking at Krishna, the motherly feeling will overflow like anything, that from her breasts, the milk would start oozing out, the milk would start flowing. It's like this happens only in this world when the child takes birth. But here Krishna is good. He's like 7 years old, and then he's coming from the forest, and every day this would happen. Not one day, every day this would happen, where Mother Yashoda is looking at Krishna, and she, a motherly affection is flowing, natural attraction for Krishna. She would go and embrace Krishna as if, for some last 12 years she has not seen Krishna. And then she would kiss him all around, and then she would say, "Why you're so late?" And he would be just few minutes late. That's it. "Why you're so late? I was so worried," and this and that. This is called as natural attraction for Krishna. This is in Brajavasis. When it comes to devotees, natural attraction is characterized by their chanting. They cannot give up chanting. They just go on chanting. There's natural attraction for chanting. Yes, like we have one devotee, Aindra Prabhu from Vrindavan. I think I've told you all about him, but for my purification, I would like to repeat. So Aindra Prabhu, he's no more amongst us on this earthly planet. He has already gone back home, back to Godhead in 2010. So Aindra Prabhu, what he would do is he would start chanting his rounds. And the goal would be to complete 16 rounds. He would start chanting, and then 16th round, you know, is chanting. The last bead is chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna." And then he would realize, "I'm saying Krishna for the last time." His last mantra, so last Krishna. Then he would say, "Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, last Ram." And then he would say, "Hare, Hare, last Hare. How can it last? No." And again he would start another round. And like this he would go on and on and on, and he would do 80 rounds. It's not that he's forcing himself, "Oh, today is Ekadashi, so let's chant more round." No, it's everyday business. Natural attraction. Just go on and on and on. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Our Goswamis, one of the Goswamis' name is Raghunath Das Goswami. When he would start chanting, he would start chanting and would never end. Day and night together for 3 continuous days he would be chanting. Disciples are sitting around and they're worrying. Hare, Guru Maharaj is chanting for so long, what would happen to him? Then third day they would wake him up and say, "Guru Maharaj, you have not taken anything for a long time. Please take something." And then he would take some half glass of buttermilk, and would be so naturally attracted to chanting that he's feeling that taking something, that there's a waste of time for some time. Yes, so he would fataksa drink and again go back to chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna." This is called natural attraction for chanting. Natural attraction, Bhagavatam. You see, Parikshit Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami is telling Parikshit Maharaj that it's already a long time. It's a good number of days that you have not had any food. You have not even drunk a drop of water. And who is saying this? A person who has not eaten anything and not drunk anything. Even Shukadeva Goswami was of that category. So Shukadeva Goswami is telling Parikshit Maharaj that I feel you might be feeling thirsty. Parikshit, are you feeling thirsty? Are you feeling hungry? And then Parikshit Maharaj is saying, "Gurudev, I am drinking the nectar that is flowing from your mouth. How can you expect that I'll be thirsty or hungry? Please go on. Please go on. No, I want to hear. I want to hear." Yes. This is natural attraction for Srimad Bhagavatam. So Parikshit Maharaj, so Shukadeva Goswami would not prepare his consciousness. "Let's prepare our consciousness for next 1 hour. And Shukadeva Goswami had got so much of taste for speaking. Now see, if Parikshit Maharaj got taste for listening, there should be a person who should be there to speak, who has got taste for speaking. Correct. So Parikshit Maharaj is listening and he's drinking the nectar. And Shukadeva Goswami has got so much of taste to speak. He's speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking, not ending only. At least I cannot do that. Now, after 1 hour, I see the time. Okay, my throat is burning now. I should take some water and stop the class. But look at these personalities. This is called as natural taste. This is called as Naisargiki Rati. Did we understand what is Naisargiki Rati? Or should I speak more? This is called natural taste. Unfortunately, we don't have that. That's the unfortunate situation. But we aspire for that. The day we get that natural taste for bhakti, no one can stop us from practicing bhakti. Even our mind cannot stop us from practicing bhakti. Mind is the biggest culprit, right? Mind does not allow us to practice bhakti. So mind cannot do anything at that time. So this natural taste will come with every single day's practice. It's not thanda thanda bhakti, intense bhakti every single day. Why we don't have that natural taste, natural attraction, nicer, nicer gaki rati? Why we don't have? because our heart is contaminated. Garbage is filled in our heart. It's like a gutter. It's stinking. Where will that natural attraction come? Only when that cleaning happens every single day, when we are chanting the Maha Mantra on beats attentively, when we are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam class attentively, when we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and other books attentively, and following the regulative principles, no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication, what happens? The cleansing happens. And slowly and steadily, we will surely realize, this is the observation, and this is also the experience, that slowly and steadily the taste starts coming. And it feels like we should do more and more and more, never stop. It feels like that after some time. And never stopping for 2-3 hours. And then when we keep doing more and more, then it becomes 4-5 hours. Then more, then 6-7 hours. And then more and 12 hours and 13 hours. And more is 24 hours short. He's thinking, why this day consists of only 24 hours? What's the problem? Brahma didn't have brain or what? 24 hours. This is what he could think from his foreheads. Yes, at least for devotees, he should give 36 hours at least. Yes. But this is a guarantee. This is a guarantee that's given by Srimad Bhagavatam, that by Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, when I say Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, it includes everything. All the devotional activities which we are doing every day. Just by doing that, we'll get that natural attraction. Be rest assured about that. Because Bhagavatam is saying, we have to be rest assured about this, that we will also get that natural taste. Right? And whenever I think about Prahlad Maharaj, you know, I'm jealous of Prahlad Maharaj. What attraction this person had at 5 years of age. We are in our late 20s and late 30s and late 40s. And we are struggling to get taste for Krishna Bhakti. But you know, he's like relishing Krishna Bhakti. So, but one day it will happen by the mercy of Sri Guru and Gauranga. We have that faith. We have faith in Srila Prabhupada's words. We have that faith. It will happen for sure. Right? So next verse will take 1 hour. So I'll not take the next verse. Next verse, there's a line. So we'll discuss this on, today's what, Thursday. Sunday we'll discuss. Krishna Graha Grihitatma. This line is my favorite line. Krishna Graha Grihitatma. It means that there is a Graha called Krishna, the planet called Krishna, and that Graha has captured Prahlad Maharaj. And what is happening to Prahlad Maharaj, that we'll see. Now, what this Graha is making him do. It's a very, very nectarian section we're going to enter now. Very, very thrilling and very adventurous one. So I'll pause here and take questions. If you have any questions, please post. And in the next 5-10 minutes, we'll recite Bhagavad Gita. Okay, if it is so, then it can be changed by chanting. Okay, I don't know at 7:21 what I spoke. So this is a contextual comment. You can maybe repost it again. Can parents decide what characteristic a child is going to have by Garbhadham Samskar? Yeah, why not? What the parents are doing, that's what the child will also get. So if parents are doing demonic activities, child will be born demonic. If they're doing divine activities, the child will get divine qualities. Yes. This full, parents can control this easily by Garbhadham Samskar. This is not related to the topic. Do ghosts actually exist because soul go either to heaven or hell? I gave a class on ghosts almost for 2 hours, 1 hour, one and a half hour class it was. Yes, so maybe you can refer to that audio. We had a whole lot of discussion on ghosts on that day. But ghosts exist for your information. We will forget material things useless when we actually stop thinking that what we are spending on is important. Yeah, correct. That's a good comment. That's a good realization. An incident like this was there in the book named Simple for the Simple. Okay. Who was Prahlad Maharaj in the earlier life? I have not explored that. Because Bhagavatam does not talk about it. So I have not explored much. Regarding womb. Okay. So yes. So when the person is there in the womb. So not complete transformation will happen. But to a very great extent, we can transform. Very great extent. What comprises Srimad Bhagavatam in Satyuga when most of the pastimes happen in Dwapar Yuga? Actually, we have pastimes of all the Yugas, you know, in Srimad Bhagavatam. Like Satyuga, we have pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj, Amrish Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj. Then in Treta Yuga, we have pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. And then in Dwapar Yuga, we have pastimes of Krishna. So Dwapar Yuga pastimes are basically in the 10th canto. And all the other Yugas, what you're talking about, just Yuga. Even other Manuantaras. So one Manu consists of how many Yugas? 71 Yugas. 71 Divya Yugas. And one Divya Yuga consists of this four Yugas that you're talking about. So what you talk about one Yuga, Bhagavatam talks about other Manuantaras also. There's one full section about that. Yes. Garbhadhan Samskar. Okay, thank you. Okay, no more questions? Does coronavirus as Krishna? See, Krishna is there with every living entity. Krishna is there with every living entity. So even that virus body, in that there is a living entity. So with that living entity, Paramatma is there. So Paramatma does not leave the living entity anytime. So Jivatma and Paramatma are together. So Krishna is there. Yes. Coronavirus has Krishna, but we cannot embrace that Krishna. We have to maintain social distance.